Good morning. There isn't any children's church this morning. I think we forgot to announce that. This is going to be a family Sunday. Been talking about the love of God for a while, and this is a continuation of it. Still be the next couple of weeks I want to talk about God's love. We talked about the cross last week. I think the greatest show of God's love was on that cross. The law demanded death, sin, demanded that blood be shed in order for sins to be forgiven. And in the book of Isaiah, it says, the Lord looked and he was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So he said, my own arm, my own power worked out salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. We're talking about a little Sunday school this morning. Jesus was in a tomb for 3 days. He rose. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He's coming back. This time is the judge. It won't be quiet as his first coming was, born in a manger, born to poor parents. You know, pretty well lived a life out of the spotlight till he was about 30. And he went around healing those who were oppressed by the devil, preaching the good news. And he told Nicodemus, this is the verdict, light has come into the world and men love their dark. People choose not to come to Christ for one reason or another. Jesus himself said that the verdict is that we like our dark. He told his brothers, the world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its deeds are evil. Well, something had to be done. And he chose to come here and die in our place. That should have been us on that cross. He came and took our suffering upon himself. He was the legal substitute. And by God's law, it made it safe then for him to forgive people like you and me. There's no other way that you may be saved except through Jesus Christ. No other name in heaven given by which you must be saved. We talk about being saved in church, and sometimes I know people might say, you know, what do you mean being saved? The Greek word literally means to be rescued from imminent danger. And if you haven't accepted what Christ did for you, you are in very real danger. The Bible talks about an eternal dying. Some like to teach that you'll go into an unconscious state, but that's not what the scripture says. I'm telling you all this to tell you that Jesus Christ has paid a great price that you and I can be redeemed, bought back. Redemption is ransom price. It's like you're kidnapped and God's bought you back. And we're going to talk this morning about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I told the Sunday school, in the early church, they had a greeting, and it went like this, Jesus Christ is risen, and the reply was, he has risen indeed. Let's try that. Jesus Christ has risen. Amen. We need to do that out on the street. People think we're goofy. All right. I'll be reading from John chapter 20, verse 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped down to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you empty, but it will accomplish what you send it out to do. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I ask that he might increase and I might decrease this message. Lord, I just ask that you take this word to each and every heart here. If there's somebody here today that has not surrendered their life to you and accepted your free offer of grace, forgiveness, I pray this will be a day of salvation. I ask a special blessing on those who are here. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've been talking about the cross and the tomb for over 30 years. 15 of it in ministry, and I never get tired of talking. All the gospel accounts are a little different, and I'm okay with that. Because if you read them all together, read them separate, read them all together, what you see is eyewitnesses telling from a different aspect what they saw. If you have four people witness a wreck and they all tell you the same story, in a court of law, they call that collaboration, and the judge will say, "No, I won't accept that testimony." The guys got together and got the story. These are people just like you and I, and they're telling things that they saw from their own perspective. The cults argue that Jesus did not die. Christian Science is a big one in this time, especially the celebrities belong to it, and they teach that the man, Jesus, died on the cross, but the Christ consciousness went off of him before he died. Mayor Baker Eddy said that Jesus swooned on the cross. Then they wrapped him alive and laid him in that tomb, and he woke up a couple days later and pushed a 6-ton rock out of his way and then walked 7 miles to Emmaus in the condition that he was in. You see, they had to discredit the resurrection of Christ. They had to discredit his death on the cross. Paul said that if in this life only we Christians have hope in Jesus Christ, we're to be pitied above all people, because we're believing something that didn't happen. He said if Christ didn't die, we're still in our sins. And if he wasn't raised from the dead, we don't have any promise of the resurrection. Now, Mary went to the tomb expecting to find a body. She was a believer in Jesus. Jesus had told these people three different times, we're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over, mocked, scourged, crucified, and on the third day I'll rise and meet you in Galilee. Well, guess where his guys were? None of them were in Galilee. They're hiding in town from the Jews. The women are the ones that go to the tomb because they want to finish embalming his body to anoint him. And when Mary gets there, the stone's already rolled away. She runs and gets Peter and John. They run back, and it says they believed. What'd they believe? There wasn't a body there. They didn't believe he had raised from the dead. Some try to make that say something. It's not. All they believed was, well, the body's gone. Somebody took the body. And I've heard arguments say, well, Jesus, when he rose, it wasn't a physical resurrection. It was spiritual. And that's why nobody knew him when he talked to them. Well, think about it. If you saw me buried, and you came to my grave, and it was open, and you turn around and I stand there talking to you, would you know who it was right at first? No. It said when Mary saw Jesus standing, she didn't recognize him. Why? He wasn't supposed to be standing. She wasn't looking for a guy standing and able to talk to her. To me, that explains it just as simple. You know, you don't need some big theological explanation. And these people, they're enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, and they try to explain his resurrection away. I always like to tell them when he appeared to his men, it said they thought he was a spirit. He said, touch me, feel me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. And while they were still scared, he said, you got anything here to eat? And they gave him some broiled fish. And he ate it. Jesus proved to them, I'm not a phantom, guys. I'm not a spiritual aberration. It's me. It's the guy that nailed to the cross. I told you I'd be raised. And I don't fault these people for going to the tomb expecting to find a body. It's only natural. They watched him die. Now, they had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. So when you think about it, the guy that was raising people from the dead is dead. And in their mind, they're probably thinking, who's going to raise him? All their hopes died. Imagine all your hopes were hanging on this rabbi. They believed the Christ would never die, and they watch him die. They might be tempted to think maybe he wasn't the Christ. Maybe he was just a prophet. They're confused. They're scared. The men are all hiding in a locked room. It was the women that had enough courage to say, yeah, we're followers of him, and we're going to go take care of his body proper. And even they were in unbelief. I like what happened. Mary Magdalene, some have said traditionally she was a prostitute. That's just speculation. What the Bible does say is Jesus had cast seven demons out of it. And she went to that tomb to honor this man. And all he had to say, Mary, there's something about the way when the Lord talks to you, heart to heart, you know his voice. And that's good because Jesus said, my sheep know me. And they will listen to me. He said, they won't listen to a stranger. When I was in the Baptist church, I remember they had people leaving. Every year they had people going over to the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they said, what's going on? How come we're losing them to these cults? And I wasn't a preacher then. I hadn't had any education, but I'd been reading my Bible. And I said, Jesus said they're not his sheep. They won't listen to a stranger's voice. These sheep prove they're not Jesus' sheep. They're sheep. They're goats, actually. And they took off listening to these other shepherds. And all Jesus had to do to Mary was say, Mary. And boy, I mean, just like that, she knew who she was speaking. And I love this translation. This is the English Standard. He says, don't cling to me. The King James says, do not touch me. You know, don't touch me. But the Greek, they all agree, the Greek literally, Jesus said, Mary, don't cling to me. She wrapped her arms around him and she said, I ain't letting you go again. This guy that cast 7 demons out of me, he's alive. And I can imagine Mary wrapped her arms around and said, where you're going, I'm going. I think I might have said, well, let's ascend to the Father. You know, take me with you. But he had a mission for her. He said, Mary, I want you to go back, tell my brother. A lot transpired between the cross and the resurrection. The Bible says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me, in case you don't know that. That's not some legalistic term the church puts on you. This is what God said. Ungodly, without God. Okay? Without God. All the way back in Genesis 5, it says, men began to call upon the Lord. The Hebrew means they began to call out to God and say, how can we get to you? We know we're wrong. Now, not everybody, because he ended up flooding the earth. But there were men and women saying, God, what do we do to get back to you? And only God had the remedy. And in actual, God said, there's nothing you can do. But there is something you do. You have a part in your salvation. You repent. You change your mind. And you turn to God. And you say, my life is yours. Do what you will with me. Take my will and make it yours. Change me into the man or the woman you want me to be. And God did it. You don't say repetitious prayers. You don't do good works. Isaiah said, our best is like filthy rags to God. The best that you and I can do is unacceptable to him. So at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly while we were God's enemies. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love. This is the love of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Love today, I don't know, it's a pretty cheap word, it seems like. It's thrown around a lot. The love of God is active. It's a verb, not a noun. And God says, I love you so much that I want you to be with me. I want to save you from the judgment that I'm bringing on this world. Yes, you're my enemy. Yes, you don't know me. Yes, you don't understand me. But I'm going to take my only son and let him die in your place so you can know me. He's inviting us to know him. That word in the Greek and Hebrew means to be intimate. It's the word used when it would say a man knew his wife and she conceived and had a child. God wants to be intimate with each and every person in here. That's his love. And he doesn't look at anybody and say, you're just too bad. You've done too many bad things. The Bible says, while we were sinners, God sent his son to die for us. He said, you got the problem, I got the cure. I know how to set you free. Nobody else can. Nobody else can. He says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, that's why the blood had to be shed, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. That ought to make every Christian in here say, amen. I don't know how your Christian walk's been, but mine's been rocky and rough and uphill sometimes, and I struggle, and sometimes I think, did I really get it? And I remember the scripture says that because I've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, I will be saved from God's wrath. Sometimes that means he whips me here. Yeah. I had a lady that had come to Christ. She told me one day, I was cussing the other day. I was so mad I got to cussing, and I felt bad that I was cussing. And she said, I thought, you must not have got saved or you wouldn't be cussing. I said, praise God, I know you got saved, because if you hadn't, you wouldn't care if you was cussing. You wouldn't even notice you were cussing. See, that's how the Lord works with us. I still get pumped by the Holy Ghost. I call the Holy Ghost pumping. And it ain't gentle. I'm not one of them who goes, you go, poof, back of it. I'm talking to you. Yeah. But I like the Holy Ghost stump. Because that means God won't judge me with the world. If I repent. Paul said, now that we are reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. You see, before Christ died for you, you and God were estranged. We know that term. You know, when people get a divorce, they're estranged. They're irreconcilable differences. But God's a God of reconciliation. And he said, I'll do what it takes to bring you back. Wow. Even though he hasn't done anything to offend or to break his law of moral government, and we have, and in that sense we're irreconcilable on our part, God says, I'll reconcile you. I don't know how it is with you, but for me to be a Christian and be able to be called a son of God is a blast. I was called a son of a lot of things before I met Christ. But now I'm a son of God. The Bible says I'm a priest and a king. Well, y'all didn't know I was royalty. Huh? So are you. If you're a Christian. I hate it when I see, and I've been guilty, I see Christians walking around like this. Got your bottom lip hung out there. Oh, life's so hard. Yes, it is. But you ain't alone. For Christians, you walk around with a scowl on your face like you're just mad at the world. And you come to church and you sit here and look at me like, bless me if you can. You know, God's already blessed you. When I'm having a bad day, it's better than the best day I had before I came to Christ. Yeah. I'm somebody. Jesus loves me. Yeah. And he loves you. You know, John doesn't talk about it, but Mary went back, told Peter and John. They came in and said, yeah, he's gone. So they went home. And so when she went to the others, They looked at her like somebody was storytelling. This is all, Mary, you're just, you know, you're wanting to see him so bad, you're so deep in grief, you're just imagining somebody that isn't there. And I love it. In Matthew, it says, or in Luke, he said Jesus appeared to him that night and he upbraided him for their unbelief. I'd like to pin a mouse in the corner there. What are you guys doing, man? I sent a witness and told you to meet me in Galilee, and now I'm coming here to get you off your blessed assurance and tell you to get to Galilee where I told you to go in the first place. He said, how slow you are. You know, you can't understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit in it. Yeah. That's why these guys didn't, they just didn't get it. Jesus didn't excuse it. He said, man, you guys are slow. How'd you like a teacher to treat you like that today? Hey, your problem is you're being dull. Oh, they'll have to have therapy now for 5 years. These are people Jesus loves. That's what I love about the Lord. Sometimes he looks at me and say, man, you're sick, dude. You know, how many times am I going to have to get this through to you? And here's these people that he's died for, and they don't believe his lie. We can sit there today, he sat there today, said, well, how could you not believe that? Well, now, wait a minute. Don't be too hard on them. I think if we experienced what they did, we'd have probably been in the same position. You're not going to expect somebody alive. Jesus, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. He says, go and tell my brother. Relationship changed here. He used to call him servant. Then he said, I'm not going to call you servants, I'm going to call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know his master's will, and I told you. Now, he says, go tell my brother. This is what God wanted the whole time. He says, for that reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. And says, in the midst of my brothers, I shall pray. I think church, sometimes when we're worshiping a song, I just sit there to write a hymn of song and sing to it. Yeah. And he doesn't care who's the outlook. Just tell them, I'm going by God to their God. You can't call God your God until you make it so. I saw that all through the Old Testament. God comes to Isaac and he says, I'm the God of your father Abraham. He didn't say, I'm your God. After Isaac goes through what he goes through, and he says, God's my God, then he did the same thing to Jacob. He said, I'm the God of your father Abraham and Isaac. And Jacob said, well, if you'll get me through this, then you'll be my God. Wonder the Lord didn't strike him dead right there. You know. Almost 20 years later, comes back home, he reconciles with his brother. And he builds an altar, and he names it El Elohi Israel. And that means God, the God of Israel. And then when God appears to Moses, he said, I'm the Father, God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I was thinking about this the other day. I get off on things sometimes, think about things some people don't, I guess. I was riding on my Harley. I said, God, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God of rich country. I like that. Yeah, you're the God of rich country. I'm going to my God and to your God. My Father. Lord. Whoa. When we were weak, Christ died. And when he came back from doing what the Father told him to do, he was able to come back and say, those of you who will accept me, now he's your God. Those of you who will give me your life, I'm your brother. And he's your father. We're going to talk about that here in a couple of weeks, of just exactly who we are in Christ, because we forget it. Or we say, well, that sounds just like what the Pentecost says, and that just freaks us out, so we don't want nothing to do it. If you are in Christ, you're somebody. You're still somebody he loves, even if you aren't in Christ. But he's asking you to come to him. How can you not trust somebody? I hear a lot of excuses, and I had my own. You know, why I didn't want to be a Christian. Oh, they all them church people, hypocrites. One guy said, well, I'd rather spend an hour with them every Sunday in eternity in hell. You know, don't worry about the hypocrites. Well, I don't like all that religious form. I'll have to quit smoking my cigarettes and drinking my beer, and I ain't going to do that. You know, the guy that got to me, I had legalistic Christians tell me I was going to hell. Man knows the Bible like you do and lives like you do. You're going to hell on purpose, dude. That's what I had one. You're going to hell on purpose. You're a fool. Little preacher. I went to work for him, shingling a roof on a restaurant building. First day of work, I get up there, got my tool belt on, I'm ready to go. I stacked all the shingles up there, carried them two bundles of time. Back then, I'd run up that ladder, 180 pounds of shingles. He said, man, you're strong. I said, no, I'm lazy. This way, I get to make half as many trips. And Orrin looked at me, and he said, are you a Christian? I said, I used to be, but I'm not. And I don't want to hear it. I said, I can quote scriptures you can quote. I grew up going to Sunday school. I've heard the good news. And I said, I don't live it. Didn't say I didn't believe it. I said, I don't live it. And I don't want to hear it. I'm here to work. I'm not here to hear you preach. He said, okay, I won't say anything to you. Oh, I didn't know the guy I worked for him was a Christian. Airborne Ranger, 75th Ranger Division. Vietnam had a big old metal plate in the back of his head. Name was Bernie. What a name for a ranger, Bernie. A big dude. One day, I was tipping a wheelbarrow full of cement, heavy. And I started to pull it back up this boardwalk, and I was having trouble getting up, and Bernie grabbed me by the shoulders and jerked me off my feet, jerked the wheelbarrow completely out, spilled the concrete. I didn't get onto him. No, this guy's big enough to hunt a bear with a stick. And I remember one day I'm shingling, I'm laying shingles out between Orrin and Bernie, and Orrin goes, Bernie, tell me what Jesus Christ is doing in your life. Bernie goes, oh, I just want to look Christ. Praise the Lord. And I'm going, ah. You know, they kept the word. They didn't talk to me, but they talked to each other all day long, every day. And Bernie came to the house one day, and he said, I know I promised you I wouldn't tell you about Jesus, but he said, man, you've been on my mind so much. I've been praying for you. And he said, God wants to tell you something. Jesus Christ loves you. Yeah. And I didn't smart off to him. What are you going to say? And then he said, I love you. That's why I'm here. He said, would you accept Jesus Christ? I said, no. I told you that. No. Well, let me pray for you. I said, I don't want to pray. And he grabbed my hand and said, Holy Father in heaven, I come to you in the name. And I'm like, man, God, I am being drugged into this, praying under duress. So I let him say his prayer. I wasn't angry, but he let. Then I told him, you know, you can come see me anytime you want, but you leave that Jesus stuff at the house. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. And about a month later, I was sitting in the room. I've been thinking about blowing the little brains out that I had. And a voice in my head said, you've tried everything else. I'm going to tell you, I found something out. I thought because I used to go to church, I used to read the Bible, I've been baptized. I used to talk to kids too about if you're not baptized, you're going to hell. Didn't talk about Jesus. I've talked about boxing. And I thought, man, I turned my back on God. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And I remember getting up thinking, well, I guess I can pray. And when I hit my knees, it just seemed like the presence of the Lord came into that room, and I saw me as he saw me, and I saw him. No, not physically, but I mean in the spirit. I could see his holiness and his love. I saw everything. And I remember saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And I started confessing my sins out loud, and I think maybe that's why God didn't let me get saved in church through the free. It just come born out of me, like a fountain, man. And I don't know how long I was down, but when I got up, I knew something happened. I didn't know what. After I was home for a couple of days, my wife said, what's the matter with you? You haven't cussed or kicked the cat in 2 days. That's the kind of guy I was. My mother said, I walked around looking like I was mad all the time. Well, I was. I hated the world. I hated myself. But it wasn't my fault that I was in where I was at, you know. Play that game like the world plays. Oh, it's not your fault, dear. Your daddy didn't love you. Shut up. That's just a text telling me, you know, you got this much money left on your card, $1.40. I'll share that with you. But I was mad. I mean, I very angry, hateful angry. And that anger was gone. For 2 weeks, I kept thinking, you need to be baptized. And I said, man, I've already been baptized twice. And I kept, you need to be baptized. And I went and talked to an Assemblies of God woman I worked for. I trusted her very much, very godly. Her name was Anita Carl. Her husband's name was Charles. He was a nice guy, but I didn't trust him with spiritual issues. Because Charles would go outside and tell dirty jokes with us. You know, Assemblies of God. If you're Assemblies of God, I'm not saying that that's how they all act. But I'm saying this lady was real. And I went to her and I said, I just rededicated my life to Christ. She said, we call that getting saved. Well, okay. I just got saved. I said, should I be baptized? She said, was Jesus. And I worked for them. I said, can I have a day off? I'm going to go get baptized. She said, take all the time you need. I'm going to tell you, there's something that happens when you obey the Lord. I woke up that morning, the night I was baptized, the next morning, I had a peace I've never known. Man, I wasn't angry anymore. I started reading my Bible, and sometimes it'd be 2 hours that I'd be sitting there reading and didn't realize it, and I was feeding it, not just reading. It was like I had a private tutor there explaining it to me. It's called the Holy Spirit. I was a druggie. I was drunk. I was a miserable man. And I'm not bragging. But I'm saying that I came to Jesus Christ just like that. And he proved to me that while I was his enemy, died for me. Where are you at this morning? Well, I've done too much. No, you haven't. The Apostle Paul murdered Christians. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, saved him. He became a missionary who wrote 2/3 of the Testament. You know, I remember a guy telling me, I don't want anything or anyone controlling my life. Well, how's it going? That's what I like to ask. How's it going, man? I had that attitude. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Except Jen. You know, how's it going for you? Jesus Christ is here today. And he's saying to you, I died so you could be free. Is that what you want? Everybody's got a choice tonight when they hear the gospel. There's only two choices. Yes or no. I'll go home and think about it is no. Let me consider it for a while. No. That's what you're saying. Not now. There was a dude named Felix called Paul for 2 years. And it said sometimes Felix would tremble when Paul would talk about righteousness. And he'd say, come back at a more convenient time and I'll hear you. And after 2 years, he still hadn't accepted the offer of salvation. Don't be a Felix. I had one guy tell me he was afraid to be a Christian because he read you had to let the Holy Spirit take control, and to him that was spirit possession. And he said everything I heard about spirit possession was bad. And then I realized, oh, this is the Holy Spirit. And it's okay for him to take possession. Do you know how much God loves you more? And he says, loves you so much that he has made a way for you to come back. That's the only way to do it. You can't do it any other way. Joining this church won't send you to heaven. Even being baptized ain't going to get you to heaven. Do it for the wrong reason. All you're doing is getting wet. But if you'll come to him, the Bible says, change your mind. And God expects you to change your way. You got to break off those old. When I started getting away from the drugs, one of the first things I found out I had to get away from was the people that were doing drugs. My friends who did drugs were always wanting me to come back. In fact, I remember one came to the house and said, I'll give you a year. You'll be back where you left off. I hadn't seen him in a while, but man, it's been 34 years. Great. And he wants to do the same thing in your life. Would you stand with me this morning? Is God your God? Is he your father? Is Jesus your brother? That's around a pretty good crowd. If you have never changed your mind and quit fighting with him and come to him and say, look, all I got to hand you is this mess of a life. And when I did that, he said, I'll take it. He didn't say, get them cigarettes out of your pocket. Throw that weed away. Put that beer down, I might say. He took me right there. Then after that, he starts saying, now you need to get rid of that weed. Quit drinking the alcohol. Give up those cigarettes. Yeah. But you know what? It's a fair trade, huh? Yeah. I know where I'm going. When I leave this world, I'm going right into the presence of my God, my brother, and my father. Not because of anything I've done, because of everything he did for me. If you need to come this morning, come up here and sit down, man. I ain't going to embarrass you. We'll talk. If you don't want to talk now, I stay at church. Usually I'm the last one to leave. If you want to talk after church, come and talk to me. I'm not going to bite your head off. Jesus loves you so much that he died a very painful death for you, and now he's at the right hand of the Father praying for his people, you need to become one of them. Brother Mark, go ahead and sing the invitation, please. My kids asked me what the 70s was like. Oh, no. Some of it I don't remember too well, but God loves you.
I have a prayer with you.
All right.
Yeah, I have surgery on one eye this week on Thursday and the other eye next week.
Okay.
And I won't be here next week, and so I appreciate prayer, particularly somebody messing with your eyeball is spooky.
Right?
Yeah. So I'm getting new lenses, so I lose my excuse of not being able to see my music. Okay.
All right.
Jesus, we thank you so much that you rose for us, that you died for us. And Father, today is this very special day, this Easter Sunday. And Father, we just thank you for all that's here today. I hope they got a good blessing from this message this morning. And Father, we just, as we go through this week, we just ask you that you be with us, that you guide us, and Father, we just know that you will. And Father, we just thank you so much for the eternal love that you give each and every one of us. Just praise God for that. And Father, as we go on, just bring your prayers to those that are on our list today, and Father, that we know that you'll be answering those prayers. And Father, we thank you so much. And it's in your Father's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus Christ is risen. Rejoice.